today on Commitment to Truth.
Power of prayer will combat any enemy that might come against you. Doubt, tribulation, anxiety. Whenever that comes to you, start praying and God, asking God, God, take this away from me. Give me the strength to overcome. And you will see how the Spirit of God will move in your life. And when we do it together, it's more impactful. Where two or more are gathered in His name, things will happen.
Welcome to Commitment to Truth, the teaching ministry of Commitment Church, a place for all nations. Thank you so much for spending time with us today. Each week, Pastor Cedric Brown and the pastoral team at Commitment Church strive to draw you into a deeper relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Here's Pastor Jose Torres, teaching pastor at Commitment Church, with today's message.
And today we will be in Jude from verses 3 to 25, and we will get into the next three parts that we want to touch on about how to contend. How do we contend? Well, the first point is found in verse 3, which says this: Beloved, while I was making every effort to write you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all handed down to the saints. Here we see the first point. We are required to preserve the truth, to preserve the gospel that we believe in. Once we've come to know the Lord and we've accepted Him as our Lord and Savior, everything that comes from it, we start learning. We start being trained up to do the work that God has called us to do. Jude, it says he was the half-brother of Jesus. He wrote this letter. He started off to talk about the common salvation, but he saw a need to warn those followers of Christ about things that were happening within the church and to safeguard what they believed and to call them to be alert. Preserve. The word preserve means this: to keep safe from injury, harm, or destruction, to keep alive, intact, or free from decay. So we cannot allow that the word of God be cut up, watered down. We cannot allow the word of God to be shut down. We cannot allow the word of God to be distorted by anyone or anything, be it the government, be it another person, making the word of God not as powerful as it truly is. But how do we preserve this truth? Truth is the body of real things, events, and facts. Actuality. It's actual. It's true. It's factual. It's something that you can hold on to. That is what the faith in God is. How can we preserve this truth, this faith? Well, there's several ways. The beginning of the church, back in Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, when 120 believers, followers of Christ, got together in the upper room, and they started doing one thing and one thing only. They were praising God and praying to God, waiting for the Comforter, the promise that was made to them. And it says that it came a moment while they were praising and praying and waiting that the walls shook and a wind blew through the room. It was the presence of the Holy Spirit consuming them. And it says that they started speaking in tongues and being overwhelmed by the Holy Spirit. It says tongues that they did not understand, but people that were around the building that heard them speaking, heard their native language. Say a Spanish person was walking and saying, what are these Greek and Hebrews and Israelites? Why are they speaking Spanish? How did they learn Spanish? I can understand what they're saying. Different languages were being heard. That is the power of God. The thing that we must preserve is the Holy Spirit that dwells in us through prayer. Prayer is essential. It's one of the things that we do to preserve the faith. Prayer. You say, well, I pray individually. Yes, it's good to wake up in the morning and give God thanks for the night and ask Him to protect us during the day. But we don't stop there. We should be praying constantly. And every moment that you get, even if it's out loud or within your heart, just pray in the moments of need, in the moments of your day. I know, and Sarah can attest to this, that when I'm in the office, I always now and then say, oh, God, help me. I call His name to help me because I'm in a situation where I don't know what to do, that I'm being overwhelmed. But I know that my resource, my comforter, my peace comes from God. And I call unto Him and say, God, help me. Or if I'm in a group of people and we're all in need, I say, God, help us. You may think that's not a prayer, but it is a prayer because I'm calling out and talking to my Father. And that's all it is, a simple conversation with your Father. The importance of prayer in all moments of our lives will help us sustain us through those moments of difficulty, those moments of despair, those moments of trials and tribulation. But praying individually is good, but praying corporately is even better. You know why? Here at Commitment, we invite you to come. You'll hear it on the announcements all the time. Come Tuesday night for corporate prayer. I know sometimes it's difficult to make all of them, but make an effort to make at least once in a month to corporate prayer. Why? Because this is the gathering of the saints calling out to God in one accord, praising His name, presenting our needs, presenting the needs of others, and waiting to hear the answer of God. And God will answer us if we call out in His name, believing it done. Miracles do happen through those prayers. I've seen, we've had prayer gatherings over Zoom, 21 days of prayer. If you didn't know, we do 21 days of prayer every quarter, every three quarters, excuse me. And when we pray, we've seen miracles after miracles after miracle when the people of God gather together in one accord to praise God and to thank God for things that are impossible for man. Are possible for God. I can give you a testimony of a small child that was born, and he was born prematurely. He had a lot of difficulty. His heart was not right. His lungs were not developed. He was having a hard time. And for 7 or 8 months, we were praying together because the family continued to ask us to keep him in prayer. And we saw little Austin being revived by God. God was strengthening him. And I'm so proud to say that that prayer was answered because that little boy is home now and he looks like nothing happened to him. The power of prayer is real. And you have to call upon it. It is one of the weapons that God has given you to defend the faith. Power of prayer will combat any enemy that might come against you. Doubt, tribulation, anxiety, whatever that comes to you, start praying and God, asking God, God, take this away from me. Help me through this. Give me the strength to overcome. And you will see how the Spirit of God will move in your life and give you the strength to overcome. And when we do it together, it's more impactful. Why? Because where two or more are gathered in His name, things will happen. Not things may happen. Things will happen. Because God hears the cry of His people. Not only are we called to pray to preserve the faith, but we also are called to study the Scriptures. You say, well, Pastor, I do my daily devotions. I come on Sunday, I hear the Scriptures. It takes more than that. You have to understand the Word. You have to start walking in the Word. You have to be trusting in this word. This word that He's left us, this Bible full of wisdom, full of knowledge, full of all the answers that we may need. You don't need someone to tell you. Just go there and ask the Holy Spirit to give you the wisdom, the understanding of the scripture so you can apply it to your life. The word of God is so pure, so true. There's nothing that can compare to it. The word of God has authority. Because when you speak the word of God, the authority of God is being spoken. Because it is the word that is uttered by our Lord and Savior. We must understand that in the word, there is what we call a sword. This is our sword. It's double-edged. When you go to battle, when you go to defend the faith, you have to have that sword in your hand. You have to understand it. That's why the importance of continuing your spiritual growth by the DMP process that we have here. It helps you develop that skill set. It's not you alone, but a group of people helping you, encouraging you, teaching you, helping you to understand what's in your hand. This Bible, this scripture that's in your hand doesn't take a pastor or elder or a deacon or a leader of the church to speak it. You can utilize this anywhere you go, in your job, in your home, in your life, in your daily walk. For if you're following the instructions that are left in this Bible, it is a map that leads to what? Eternal life. It is a map that shows you how we should be walking. And if we preserve this word and make it part of us, not only reading it, but understanding it and applying it to our lives, we are preserving the faith. Many countries don't have the word in writing. They might have one little piece of paper with a couple verses, and they have to memorize it and put it in their hearts because their country, it's against the law to read those scriptures. But once this is in your heart, even if it's just a small portion, that small portion gives you the authority, the power, the words to instruct others on how to find salvation, how to find peace. There is no book that can compare to this book. For it is the spoken word of God. It is inspired by God. It is our map to eternal life on how we should walk. Once we start studying the word and start praying to preserve the truth, God has called us into fellowship. Many says, well, Sunday, I come to church every Sunday because I enjoy the service. I enjoy being with my brothers and sisters. I'm encouraged by that. Great. It's a good start. But I challenge you that you don't stop there. Once you meet a brother in church and you get to know them, hey, let's go out for coffee on Tuesday. I know there's no service, but let's get together. Let's talk about the word of God. Let's talk about your life. How could I pray for you? You know, how could I join you alongside of you and help you get to where you need to get to? How can I encourage you to keep on fighting? That is important. Developing relationship among your brothers and sisters. How can we do that? Well, you saw the video. Engage groups. Engage group is one of the assets, one of the resources that God has given us. Because once you learn how to do an engage group, the challenge is going to be, would you want to be a host? That means opening your house. You want to be a leader or a teacher within those groups? Two different responsibilities. You can be both, or you can just open up your house and let someone else lead. This does one thing. It invites people in, a group of people into your home from the church and from outside the church. And then you start sharing the word. You start praying together, fellowshipping. You'll understand what the needs that of that week for that person is. If they're sick, you're praying over them the entire week so they feel better. You're sharing the word. You're something that you may not understand. Someone else has a better understanding because they've been doing it for a longer time. And one time they didn't understand, but someone taught them, and they're sharing it with you. And fellowshipping develops relationships. That's all this is all about. It's about the relationship first that you have with God. And secondly, the relationship you have with your brother. And thirdly, the relationship you have with this world. What is your responsibility to this world? It's to open up your heart so that you can share with them what God has done in your life. Share the scriptures, share the prayers, share the answer prayers. I know people that are going through sickness right now, and they don't know God. But I can share with them what God did for me when I was sick, when I was told I was going to die in 6 months. I said, listen, the power of prayer is true. It's real. Because when I was dying, when I thought my last days were coming, my mother started praying for me. She encouraged others to pray for me. She wrote to other people in other places, in other churches, and they all started praying for me. And by the grace of God, God heard their voices through that prayer. He healed me. He restored me. And it's been 26 years since my liver transplant. So the power of prayer does work. The gathering of the saints does work. The scripture has power and authority that you cannot even comprehend unless you put it into practice. Engaging in and inside the church and outside the church, you can engage through the men's ministry, women's ministry, children's ministry, youth ministry. There's so many avenues of engagement, but I'm shy. It's okay to be shy. Join a group. Meet somebody. Talk to somebody. Open up your heart, and you will see that many of the people here have gone through the same things that you've gone through, that you're going through, and may encourage you to keep the faith, to work hard and battle. That's point one, preserving the faith, the truth. That's what we're called to do. Every person here, like Pastor Ken Touch, has been called. If you accepted the call, the day that you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you made that confession of your sins, and you turned your life to Christ and you invited him in. As soon as he entered your heart, you became a soldier of Christ. It's not to sit in a chair. It's not to enjoy the service, enjoy the preaching, and then go home and just keep it to yourself. That's not what God wants. God wants you to be that light. God wants you to share it with the world. Share it with your family. Share it with your friends, so that they too can encounter Jesus Christ and the love and the mercy that he has for us. So don't sit there taking it all in for yourself. It's good. But it's even better to see it in others. How God changes the lives of other family members, friends, co-workers, perfect strangers sometimes. In verse 4, we find our second point. The Word of God says this: for certain persons have crept in unnoticed, those who were along beforehand marked out of the condemnation, ungodly persons who turn the grace of God, our God, into lasciviousness and denied our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. How many believe that saying where it says, be on alert for the wolf in sheep clothing? You understand that the enemy is always trying to disrupt corrupt, destroy what God is doing. And when there's a gathering of faithful Christians that are dedicated to maintaining the faith, there are those that come in with malintent, with their own agendas. Not everyone that stands and preaches the word or says the words or expresses the word is living the word. Not everything that glitter is gold. There are people that come in and they have this great gift of gab, and they, oh, la, la, la. And you're like, wow, very elegant, very expressive, tremendous leader. And then they hit you with, you know, yeah, I'm preaching, but, you know, I need those that are have the $1,000. Bring it up to me. I need your offering. It's coming to me. I'm going to use it for the furtherance of my ministry. And then they turn around. They misuse that money for other things. Or those that come to church and they plant themselves within the ladies or the men's group, and they start gossiping. Instead of using words of edification, they start using words of gossip, stuff that destroys. They start using things to question the leadership or the pastors of the church that are called to lead. And they start putting things in people's head. And, you know, if you're not in prayer, if you're not in the Word of God, if you're not full of the Holy Spirit, you can be deceived by these people that creep in. And trust me, they have tried to infiltrate the army of God. Because what better way to destroy an army than to get amongst them and start destroying within? We have to guard from that. We have to protect ourselves from that. We have to be on alert. The responsibility of every man in his household is to protect his family. The responsibility of every leader in the church is to care for the flock, for all the people. The responsibility of my brother is to watch my back. In the military, when you're in the military, there's always someone watching your, what they say, your six, your back. Because you're concentrating in the front, but somebody's watching your back that someone doesn't sneak in and tries to get you from the rear. The importance of being watchful. The word protect means to cover or to shield from exposure, injury, damage, or destruction, to guard or defend. That's how I know that the day that I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I enter into the greatest army that this world, universe, whatever exists, has ever seen. Because this army has been called to preach the gospel, to share the love of Christ, to share salvation to those that are lost. And the enemy does not want us doing that. The enemy will put obstacles in our way, people in our way, to try to divert us from doing his work. The Word of God instructs us to protect. Here at Commitment, we're very mindful of protecting our people. Not only spiritually, because if we see something, you're in need of spiritual guidance, we quickly try to get someone to help you through that situation. But also, we protect our children, our women, our youth in this place. If you notice, at times you have a parking attendant. You think the only reason he's out there is to protect our cars? No, he's the first line of defense. That person, with the discernment of God and the Holy Spirit, is watching for anything that might be coming to harm us. The person at the door, his responsibility is not only to greet the person at the door, but to discern any malintent that might be coming through that door. Yesterday, I was at another church's gathering of churches with my brother, and we gave a active shooter training for that congregation. And we told them, you know, we shared with them, look, at Commitment, we're ahead of the game. We're trying to avoid someone coming in, destroying or damaging or hurting someone. We have our parking attendants. We have our VIP guy at the door. We have greeters in the door. So by the time you reach the sanctuary, you've been touched by at least 8 people. And 8 people have encountered you with the love of God, the discernment of God, to see what your purpose is here. If you came looking for God, oh, you're more than welcome to come in. But if you came here to do harm or to cause harm, we're going to stop you, because the Holy Spirit's going to show us that your malintent. I'll share with you. There's a gentleman that came here one time. Came in with a Bible. Looked the part. Walked in. It's a young lady that special needs that was coming to our church. She came and sat down. He chose to follow her. It appeared that he was following her before she came to church. He sat next to her and engaged her in conversation. Now, understand, she's special needs, so, you know, somebody gives her attention, she's going to follow that person. She got up and he let her out the door. One of our sisters in the church saw that, was concerning. She brought it to our attention. So we told her to grab the girl. She brought her back into the sanctuary. So the gentleman then comes back in, but then he walks back out. And I said, are you okay, to him? And he said, I'm going to get my Bible. But I already saw him walking with the Bible. So he walks to his car, comes back. As he came back in, a group of the men, I had with them, I said, something wrong with this guy. Not sure what his intent is, but we're going to talk to him. So we greeted him at the door. We shook his hand, and I escorted him into our resource room. And me being an ex-police officer, you know, that kicked in. So I said, so, well, you know that young lady you sat next to and you were walking out? Oh, no, I just met her today. Flag number one. Oh, yeah? So you don't know her? Nope. So why did you ask her to walk out? Oh, no, we were just talking. Oh, okay. I said, we don't allow that here. We don't allow that here. I said, by the way, you have your ID with you? Why I asked him that question, that was the police in me, because I always ask for ID to identify the person. But I was testing him. He quickly went into his wallet, pulled out his ID, gave it to me, like nothing. Didn't question why I asked for his ID. Didn't question, like, why are you asking me for my ID? Why you need my ID? A normal person that has no malintent would feel that way. But he gave me the ID. I looked at the ID, I got his name, handed it back to him. We got into conversation, and then he's telling me about his military career, how he got discharged from the military, mental issues, and I said, oh, okay. I said, well, because you made people feel uncomfortable today, I'm going to ask you that you cannot attend today. I'm not saying you can't come back, but for today, because people are feeling uncomfortable with you, could you please leave the church? And then before you come back, you have to meet with pastor and the elders. Is that okay with you? He goes, oh, yeah, sure. They didn't question it, just walked out the building. Something in my heart said, call the police. We called the police, the local police. We gave him his name. And the police officer wasn't even surprised with the name. He says, yeah, we've encountered him. And for basically the same reasons that you think. So thank God that we were there. We were alert. That sister was alert enough to bring it to our attention. And we escorted him out. He's never been back here again. And we pray that he never does that at another church again. But we have to be on alert, not only for our spiritual needs, but for the physical needs of our people, to protect our people, that no one comes and harms us. So we got to protect the flock. That's not only the pastor's responsibility, the elders, the deacons. It's every man You've been called to this. Every man, you're the protector of your family. But doesn't leave out the women, because we know you guys are be ahead of us in everything that we do anyway. And we have to follow you sometimes because you're like, oh, no, no, we're not standing for that. That's my child. No. You know, and you're running out there and not letting us do our job. But be on alert spiritually for the word, confirming that what is said from the pulpit, that is being expressed to you, being taught to you, is the truth. Don't take for gospel anything that's uttered out of any man's mouth unless you can confirm it with the word of God. Once it's confirmed by the word of God, then you know, hey, that man's on point. He's with God. But if there's something that is not of God, the word of God will reveal it. And we have to be careful. Unfortunately, we have to be careful. Mega churches, they start off small. They get big. The bigger they get, sometimes the person in charge, he gets, yeah. Look at this church that I built. Look at these people. They're bringing all this money. I got a jet now. I got a Bentley. Yeah. I'm doing real good. This is my church. And they forget who really, really established that church. And what happens, because they get full in their head, they start saying things that are not in the word. And if those people are not listening to him, only following him because he's got the gift of gab and not confirming what he's saying, they get distracted and they fall into the trap. But those that are on point reading the word, I'm challenging you. You're not saying, Pastor, I'm sorry, but what you said is not in the Bible. It's not true. I read this. Can you explain to me why it's not matching? And if that pastor cannot explain to you why it's not matching, then something's wrong with his teaching. So be on alert. Don't take everything for gospel. Protect the flock. Protect each other. Physically protect each other too. And lastly, the last point, which is found between verse 5 and 15, I'm not going to read them all, but it has to do with the judgment of God. Trusting God's judgment. God is a just God. God is fair in everything he does. Some people say the greatest judge was Solomon, but he was nothing without God's guidance. God gave him discernment. God gave him the vision. God taught him how to be a good judge. And God will be our judge on our final day, be it that we call into heaven through death or that trumpet sound and the day comes when judgment comes for the entire world. Are you ready for God's judgment? Are you listening to what God is instructing you to do? Here in verse 5 through 14, you see some examples of how God's people disobeyed him, rebelled against him. It says that the people that left Egypt from being slaves for so many years, that God freed them, he opened up the waters, they crossed through the waters on dry land, waters were closed, the enemies were destroyed. Even after seeing all those things, a lot of them started saying, why have you taken us into this desert? We were better off in Egypt. Why are we following this God? They started melting down the gold and making idols and worshiping other gods. It says that the generation that left Egypt, that first generation that left Egypt, they did not, because their disobedience and their rebellious, they did not have the pleasure of entering the promised land. Even Moses, he got to see it from afar, but he didn't get to enter because the consequences of being disobedient to God. God instructed him to do one thing, and out of anger, he did another. And because of that, he did not have the pleasure of entering into the promised land. We must be obedient to God. we must not rebel against God, because he instructs us to walk in his path. It says, not even the angels that rebelled against God, when Lucifer decided to say, hey, I'm just as good as you, and he was cast out, along with him, with a whole ton of angels that rebelled against God, that didn't want to do what God had instructed them to do. They wanted to do sinful things. And to this day, they're waiting for their judgment. And it's coming. It's coming soon. Their judgment is coming. And it says their final destination is a place of torment, constant grinding of the teeth, a lake of fire. Can't imagine a lake of fire constantly burning. We see an example when Samara and Gomorrah, when they got full of themselves and they started doing very sinful stuff. They were living wicked. Men with men, women with women. They got to the point where when God sent angels to rescue Lot and his family, these men confronted them and wanted these angels to come out so that they could have relationship with them. God did not tolerate that anymore. He couldn't tolerate it anymore. It gotten to the point where he was done with them. He says that fire and brimstone came upon Sodom and Gomorrah and destroyed them. He says, destroy them. No more of their existence. The fire was turned off. Can you imagine a lake of fire that never turns off being the final condemnation for those that don't follow Christ, that don't obey Christ, that don't adhere to his word? That is what is awaiting those that choose to disobey God and not listen to his calling to become part of his family. He is a just God. He is the judge of all judges. In Revelations 20, verse 11 to 15, it gets into what's going to happen on the day of judgment. Everyone will be judged, be it for good or be it for bad. I want to be in his presence. And when he opens up that book, he goes, Jose Torres. Oh, okay, here you go, Jay Torres. Okay. Uh-huh. That was bad. That was badder. Ooh, in your youth, you were a terrible guy. Oh, hold up. On this date, that's good. Oh, you gave your heart to God, and you started living for Christ, and you started, okay, you're good, because all the other things are wiped away, because you started walking with Jesus. You accept him as your Lord and Savior. You applied the word to your life. You started walking in the truth. You started defending the truth, and you lived to the very end defending the truth. Come in, my good servant. Next person comes up. Billy Bob, I'm going to say. Yeah, Billy Bob, bees. Billy. Oh, Billy. I see you did a lot of bad. Sister Florine was talking to you on that Sunday, and you turned away from her and told her, get away from me, crazy woman. Didn't accept the God. Oh, my brother John came to you and spoke to you, and again you turned away and cursed him and told him to get away from you. So every opportunity I gave you, you turned away. And because of that, this is what's awaiting you. Escort him over here. What's going to happen is, when the devil is cast into the lake of fire, when the Antichrist is cast into the lake of fire, when all those angels that are waiting, that rebelled against God, are going to be cast into the lake fire. Those that have not accepted Jesus Christ, unfortunately, will end up in the lake of fire, teeth grinding, pain. They're going to wish that they would die. They will attempt to kill themselves, and they could not. They will suffer for eternity. I do not wish that on anyone, let alone my enemies. So it's incumbent that the church goes, understands the final judgment, preach the good word, pray for those that are lost, that God may touch them. Allow the Holy Spirit to give you discernment where to go, who to speak to share the gospel, and just pray over them that God may reveal himself to them so that they may be spared that final judgment. My God is a good God. He gives opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. But there comes a time when he cannot stand it anymore and says, enough is enough. So if you know someone that is on that verge, on walking that path where they're about to be given their last moment, share the gospel, live the word, defend the faith, stand firm in what you believe. Believe that what you are doing is for the greater good of mankind. Believe what you are doing is to glorify God. Believe that trusting the Lord, preparing yourself with the scriptures and in prayer will give you the authority to confront whatever comes your way. The enemy is here to steal and destroy, but God is here to rescue and save. Let us do what God has called us to do. We are in his army. For the day that you accepted him, you took an oath. You may have not known that, but you took an oath to do his will. And if you're doing it, do it well. And if you're not doing it, start to do it. And if you need help doing it, call on someone to do it. Prayer, scriptures, fellowship are key for every good Christian soldier to be able to battle for the faith. Be on alert for those that are trying to creep in, that are sent by the enemy to destroy and cause confusion. Stand firm in the word of God and challenge them. Do not allow them to lay hold of this place. Because this is a godly place. This is a holy place. This is a place where God dwells, as the song said. And remind everyone of the final judgment and allow them the opportunity to receive what you have received. That joy and peace that you have received, don't keep it to yourself. That's selfish. Share it. Share it. Share it. Because God wants every person to have an opportunity of salvation.
Hello, my name is Sarah Vega, and I am the Administrative and Executive Director here at Commitment Church. I hope you've enjoyed today's message by Pastor Cedric Brown. If you didn't know, Pastor Cedric also sends out encouraging videos weekly. We call these the Weekly Wire. The acronym WIRE means Weekly Inspiration, Refreshment, and Encouragement. We can send these encouraging videos directly to you by subscribing at www.loveallnations.org. Again, that's www.loveallnations.org. Here's an example of the encouragement you'll receive.
Growing up as the last of eight kids in a large family, and growing up in Compton, California, playing sports as well, both collegially, professionally, I've learned to be a scrapper. In other words, a fighter. Maybe calm on the outside, but on the inside, man, I'm a scrapper. And I like to be pushed over and and picked on, talked about, shoved around, and probably just like you. You don't appreciate that, right? But there's a promise in the Word of God that says this. Contend, O Lord, with those who contend with me. Fight against those who fight against me. So the next time you or I feel like we're being bullied or picked on or we just feeling scrappy, can we all remember that if we just step back, God will step forward to contend for us. There's no need for you to fight for yourself on the job or within your home or in your marriage, and you're fighting and scrapping to be heard or seen or promoted or something like that. Let the Lord contend for you and let the Lord fight for you. This is Pastor Cedric of Commitment Church reminding us all that the Lord still today is contending for us. He is still fighting for us. He is fighting for those who have put their faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ. He is our defender. He is your defender today and always. This is Pastor Cedric again with another Weekly Wire. Please pass this video on to someone who needs to know that God will contend and fight for them. Please visit our website at loveallnations.org. That is loveallnations.org. May God bless you.
We hope you enjoyed this sample of our Weekly Wire. Again, to subscribe to your weekly inspiration, refreshment, and encouragement, please visit www.loveallnations.org. Again, that's www.loveallnations.org.
Thank you for listening to Commitment to Truth, a teaching ministry of Commitment Church, a place for all nations. If you want to listen to the previous messages in this series, or if you want to hear messages from other series, visit Commitment Church on YouTube or Pastor Cedric Brown on Spotify, Pandora, or other podcast providers. You can also visit us on our website, commitmentchurch.org. And if you live in the Philadelphia, Delaware, or South Jersey area, we would love to see you in person as well. You can attend any of our services by visiting us at 2 Berlin Road South, Lindenwald, New Jersey, 08021. Thank you again for listening, and have a blessed and wonderful day.